Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 26, 2017. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation has to do with the words you just sang. You know, hymns are really important because they reflect what God says in his word. Lutheran hymns are known to go back to God's word, and that's where they get their source. They don't get it from our feelings or anything like that. They get it from, what does God say? You just sang, "See all your sins on Jesus laid. The Lamb was slain for us so that we live." That is what we also confessed in the Apostles' Creed. This is what your faith rests on. And when the Lord gave those words to the Apostle Paul, he wrote them very clearly, very distinctly, and so I'm choosing a different translation. It's not really a translation. It's called a paraphrase. It's kind of like what I'm doing right now, a sermon. It's taking what God says and puts it in different words. But this is what God says. If corpses cannot be raised, then Christ was not raised, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ were not raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and the resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. And there is a proper order in this. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. But we have to wait our turn. Christ is first, then those with him at his coming, the grand consummation when, after crushing the opposition, he hands over his kingdom to God the Father. He won't let up until the last enemy is down, and the very last enemy is death. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. We, my dear friends, are living in a really odd age when you think about it. On the one hand, the gospel is going out all over the place. Right now, this message in this church right now from Wisconsin is going out on the internet, which means it's all over. The whole world has access to the gospel. And yet, we're becoming very much aware that there sure is an awful lot of hatred out there. There sure is a lot of bad things going on, a lot of things like fires and earthquakes and tornadoes and terrible bad things. And if you're alert to what's going on in Christendom, you could become frightened. You really could. Christians are being slaughtered because they're Christians. They gather for worship and grenades go in through the windows or a spray of bullets. So it could be scary, because we are living in the last days. And the Lord tells us it's exactly what's going to happen. People are going to be rebellious out in the open, brazen in their sinning. They could care less. It's all about me, 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 me. That's a sad, sad thing. scary thing, worrisome thing. Except for Christians. You know why that is? It's because of this text, which we've sung about, which we confessed in our life, which we confessed with our mouth, with the Apostles' Creed. See all your sins on Jesus laid, that would have done no good if Christ would have stayed on the cross, dead and buried. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And that makes all the difference in the world. So the first thing is, believe that. You and I know, we go by cemeteries all the time. You and I are going to go and take care of cemeteries and put flowers and remember our loved ones. It looks as if death is the end. I remember talking with Pastor Harpin at the funeral of his dear wife. And he walked away from that grave and he had his fist clenched. And he said, I hate how Satan makes death look so final. Because I know it's not. And how does he know? Because this is what God says. That those who trust in him will be raised to life again. So the first thing is, if you haven't heard this yet, listen and believe it. Because Christ is risen. He was certified dead. He was certified buried. They put a burial guard on it. It's all in the papers, all in the formal things that you have to do when you execute a prisoner in the Roman government. But when he hit day number 3, he kept his promise. Whoa. He kept his promise. This all come when you're talking with other people. Don't water down the gospel. Don't water down the sin, and don't water down the gospel. What do I mean by that? Well, when they talk about the resurrection to life, don't say, well, that's a nice story. Or don't say, well, it's a parable of sorts to show how we're all kind of rising to life again and looking at life in a different way. That's a lie. He physically died. His heart stopped. They wrapped him up in cloths and they put him into a tomb and sealed the tomb because he's dead. And the real live thing is that he came back to life again. Jesus says, believe that. You know, it's one of the hardest things to believe because of our sinful nature. Whenever we run into death, we are really reminded of our sin, aren't we? You just can't duck it. At the end of every one of our lives is a tombstone. And we all know the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death. So whenever you see death, whenever you're experiencing the death of a loved one, it's right there in front of you, no matter where you turn. And it hurts to remember that we have dishonored God's holy name. And yet, Jesus was slain for us. He's alive. He appeared first to his disciples. They couldn't believe their eyes. He said, peace be with you. They started to become afraid. They thought he was a ghost. So what did he do? He saw that they were eating. He said, can I have some fish and chips too? He sat down, had a meal with them, and they watched him eat because they could not believe their eyes. He let them touch him. How come? He wanted them to know that their sin had been removed from them. It was still in the tomb, but Jesus is alive. This means that you and I, when we get close to dying, we have a hope that very few people on the planet know about. Oh, there's a lot of Christians, but there is a lot more people who do not know what we believe. No matter how widespread the internet is, no matter how many Bibles you give out, there are people who don't read their Bibles. There are people who don't watch online or study God's Word. They don't know the hope that you and I have. A classmate of mine became the pastor of one of his seminary professors. That was quite an interesting first call. And his seminary professor, a Dr. Becker, got cancer of the lungs, and it started to spread. And Dr. Becker knew he was going to die. And so my pastor friend would go and see him from time to time in the hospital. Then the doctor came and approached my pastor friend and said, "I think you need to have a discussion with Dr. Becker because he seems very, very calm. He may not understand the fact that he's going to die." And my pastor friend said, "Oh, he understands, and he's looking forward to it." Because that's how Christians are. We know that death is not the end. We have a hope for a future that goes on forever and ever and ever. But it doesn't start until God says, "Come home." So think about this for a second. Since Christ has been raised, that means he kept his promise. We're still here, and we're banking on those promises. Everything that you do has an eternal consequence. That's why you're still here. The Lord wants you to use your life to give him glory, to use your mouth to share the good news with somebody, to reach out and help somebody until the Lord decides to take you home again. And what would you do? What would you do for Jesus if you knew that you could not fail? The scriptures say every one of God's promises, listen, every one of God's promises is yes in Jesus Christ. So if I don't have any strength, Lord, give me strength. Yes. If I'm troubled in my conscience, Lord, I'm sorry, give me peace. Yes. Have mercy. Yes. Forgive me. Yes. I need wisdom. Yes. 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 Every one of his promises. And that means that even I can go back to God's word again and again. You know, we're in the last days. The mark of the last days is that there's going to be a lot of false teachings. The Lord told his disciples, whom he had been teaching personally for 3 years, he told them, be alert so that they would not be seduced by the false teachings. The Lord's apostle, as he was going to leave Ephesians, says, be alert. Don't be seduced by the false teachings that are going to come up from right within your ranks. You and I need to be alert. How can you be alert? Just by knowing God's word better and better and better. So, if you haven't started reading God's word, do it. If you have started reading God's word, but you kind of go off track, get back on track. If you have a friend of yours that, man, that person really needs to know who Jesus Christ is, then do that. Bring them along with you. Share what you have. In Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen.